How do you do it without laughing? Welcome to episode 159 of the Muck Podcast, a member of the Odd Pods Media Network. Listen in as we discuss the dark and sometimes weird true stories in American politics. I'm Hillary Doherty.
And I'm Tina Jaramillo.
So, Hillary, tell me about your week.
wait. Hey!
Oh, hi! Stop fucking around, bitch.
Woo! Oh my god. That was so good.
That was fun. Ooh, Friday night recording.
Oh my god, Friday night recording. I like it. I like it. I like it.
Me too. Here's how old we are though. Coffee.
I know. Jesus, help me.
It's 5:49 PM on a Friday. It's so good though. Fuck, why is coffee so good?
I don't know.
What is it?
It's amazing.
It's the best. So anyway. What's the haps? I got lots of things
yes,
up front.
Do
you want
do
good
too.
Stuff first or bad stuff first?
Let's do the bad.
Okay, go.
All right. So we talked prior to recording about the College Board having their AP African American History course rejected by the state of Florida when there are plenty of other AP history courses, right? There's AP Art History. There's AP Euro. There's APUSH. Not to mention all of the like languages that you can learn, but it's language and culture. So you have Spanish, Italian, French, Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
But African-American history, sorry.
Wonder why that is. Can somebody spell bigot for the class?
Right. Racist?
Can somebody let me know how to spell that?
Oh my
God. I mean, it's fucking nuts.
Well, and the other thing is, one, it's... We are doing a huge disservice to the students in the state of Florida. We are doing a huge disservice. These are AP courses, are college level courses.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now not allowing our students to have access to other courses that they might have an interest in to study and have a college level experience, earn college credit. And there's other kids across the country who are having that experience, but our kids are not. And I don't understand how this is freedom. I don't understand how it's freedom. And I was talking about this today, and it's like this whole parental rights thing. I think that's what they think freedom is, that they have the right to dictate what they want for their child. And if you want to do that, go homeschool your kid.
Right.
Homeschool them.
I don't want to change the subject because I do want to talk about HB1, which is this new house bill that's coming out that's already been floating around in the session. It like furthers the voucher system here in Florida. And I read a great tweet that the Democratic Public Education Caucus of Florida put out today that are staggering numbers when it comes to this voucher system and what it actually does to these kids who get wrapped up in it. It ain't good.
No.
But here's the point about African American history. That's American history.
Yes.
You don't have American history without talking about African American history.
But guess what?
That is a vital crux. What is it called?
A crux.
Crux. Yeah. In the history of this country. That is who we are. And to think that you can erase because it makes you uncomfortable. I literally had this conversation with my son today in the car. He said it does make him uncomfortable. And I said, I said, you know what though? It's supposed to.
Of course.
You should be uncomfortable. That means you know what happened was wrong.
Yes. And what
and
is
we
wrong
will not
with that?
Repeat these things because what's happening now in Florida is 1933 Germany.
Yeah.
Okay. We're banning books. We're coming for teachers. We want lists of who's teaching these classes. They asked the House Speaker, Paul Renner, I believe his name is Paul Renner. He literally is doing the bidding now and capitulating to the governor. And sent out a letter to public universities asking them for the list of the professors and the people who teach the diversity courses. UCF, there was a whole article in Orlando Sentinel. UCF is changing the name of their courses so they're not red flagged.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to continue to educate students without having a... Heil Hitler coming into the fucking classroom telling they can't teach something.
Can you imagine this? But the other thing that's interesting is kids really don't have, I mean, we do have an opportunity in a class like APUSH, like AP US History to learn, right? Because you do have to go through early American, but you know where it starts?
Mm.
It starts after the Civil War.
Right.
They don't learn anything leading up to it anymore. But, and I get it that there's like so much to cover. You know what I mean? Like the more
absolutely,
that
but even still, if it's after the Civil War, what are where our country was at that point right. was because of these other things. It's not like white people just started there. You know what it's I mean? Just, it's not like the country just, started after the Civil War.
It's just interesting to me that it's history. No one, it's not critical race theory. It's history. It boggles my mind. And the other thing that's happening, did you read about what DeSantis is doing as far as transgender university students? Wait.
Before we get that, let me just read about this HB 1 because this is crazy to me. So HB 1, House Bill 1 that's coming out to Florida that they released, it creates a universal voucher system. So there's already a voucher system here in Florida. You get this voucher and a public school student gets a voucher, which is money.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can go to a private school or a charter school and it will pay for that student's education. It's or their it's tuition,
like their seat.
Right?
It's like their seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that someone who maybe otherwise wouldn't have that opportunity now has the opportunity to go to, which takes money away from the public schools, takes a student away from public school, yeah, which is what the point school, is, to yeah, destroy the, public school.
And the schools get paid. So there's like there's a couple different times throughout the year where a school has to indicate like the students that are enrolled, mm-hmm. right? And based off the rosters and all of that. And then the school gets money
right.
for each kid that is sitting in that seat. But right. if Johnny now is no longer sitting in that seat, the school loses however much money they've decided, if it's $1,700 right. a year, $2,000 a year, for that, whatever the and number the way is. That the and then that money goes to the parent to go pay for what they want. But a private school should not get public school funding.
Right.
They shouldn't. If you want to send your kid to private school, you have to do like everybody else and pay for it. If you want to send your kid to a public charter school, okay. If you want to send them to a magnet school, fine. But why is a private school that does not have to adhere to the fast testing, to any of the standardized shit that the data and all that stuff that the public school educators have to do by law, why are those students then not held to the same accountability if they're receiving the same tax dollars that public school is getting?
Right.
It does not make sense and it's not fair.
Right. So here's some facts about the voucher system. 61% of students who go to voucher schools return to public education within 2 years. All right, let's keep reading because I'll over explain it. On average, these students lose almost a year of learning during their time at the voucher school. Families have prestigious private schools in mind when they hear of this program, but what they get in reality are strip mall schools that have unqualified teachers, workbooks instead of rigorous curriculum, and no wraparound programs or services, which means if a student needs extra academics like reading and they need help with all these things, they don't have any of that. Why does this happen? The amount of the voucher doesn't cover the cost of private schools no. families dream of. That's why 80% of the money ultimately goes to families that already send their student to private school. It's not a choice program. It's a socialism for the rich.
It's 100%.
And in the end, and listen to this, is my favorite part. And in the end, private schools will just raise tuition by the amount that the voucher is worth. Uh-huh. So in the end, it won't actually help families at all, but it most definitely takes money out of Florida's already woefully underfunded public education system.
Right. I mean, let's just talk about South Florida. I can name three schools within the vicinity of where we are currently sitting and recording this podcast, that the tuition is close to $40,000 a year. And that $2,000, maybe $2,700 you're getting for your kid is not going to make a dent in it, right? And all of these private schools have testing that your child has to take. They request all of your financials. There's all of this stuff that they want because they want to know in the end, right? Are you going to be a good donor? Mm. Are you going to be able to give your time? Because there's always ulterior motives. It's not just about educating the kid. So are they going to take Joe Schmo's kid? Probably not.
But the worst part is this. You know, I know with the board that we sit on, we had a questionnaire, and one of the things was we'd ask candidates was about charter schools. Have you ever sat on a board? Do you support charter schools? And a lot of the Black candidates were always like, yeah.
Right.
Because and a lot of the people who would endorse, like our members, were like, would be up in arms about it. And I think they took the question off because a lot of us, including myself, were like, can we just pump the brakes on this for a minute? These are the schools that are the best in these underfunded communities of color. The charter schools are like, listen, all parents want the same for their kids.
Of course.
They want the best education for their kids. If the state's like, here's a voucher, And they go to look for a school because the school that their kid's in is an F because nobody's going to the black communities to help those schools, right? They're going to close all those schools down. And the parent wants the best for their kid. Right. So they take it. They go to some charter school in a strip mall. Now their kid is 2 years behind everybody else. It's fucking
an
outrage. And it's bullshit. It's taking advantage of people.
Yeah. And the F school, like, that's the whole thing. Like, I would think that if you had a system, and they changed it now, but like when that first system under Bush, the No Child Left Behind and the grading of the schools and all of that, that A through F system, it was if your school gets an A, you get lots of money. Mm-hmm. If your school is an F, you don't get shit. And it seems like it should have been the reverse. If your school is an F school and there's something going on that your school is failing, that's where we should dump all the money. Yeah. Because clearly there's resources or there are things that are lacking in that school that they need the extra support, more reading coaches, more intervention, whatever the thing may be. But instead, they pump it into the A schools. And then the people who live in areas that have an A school, they have the PTAs that are dumping. Like when you think of a school like Stoneman Douglas, their PTA, they have an amazing facilities at that school because there's hundreds of thousands of dollars in their PTA account.
It's a wealthy, wealthy area, Parkland.
You know?
Lots of money, honey. Lots of money.
You know, so those are the things that people should think about. And it's racism. It's disgusting.
What was the other thing you're going to say about what he's doing with the transgender?
Yes. Okay. So about yesterday, I believe that it came out that DeSantis is seeking to find out transgender university students' health information. And he wants to know who received gender-affirming treatment.
Right.
Why does he need to know that? Why is it his business to know that?
Again.
These are university students, not high school.
Yeah.
These are now adults. Why is this is so frightening to me.
Yeah.
And again, the AP, this listing, all of this stuff, as we said before, is this another Vienna sausage finger guy. Mm-hmm. Who wants to run for president. That is all this is about. It's all about let's keep the fuel on the fire of the culture wars so that his name is out there all of the time. Yeah. And I got to say something else. We did a stupid TikTok where
this was good.
I did a stupid TikTok.
Last time I checked, it was like 25,000 views.
Oh, well, it's, I think, well above that now. I went on the other day and there were over 500 comments.
Oh, yeah, there's lots. I don't
telling
look at the comments.
Me. To get the hell out of Florida and like how nobody likes me. And it's fine. Like, I don't care about the comments. But all y'all listening, you need to go on there and tell those MFers to go fuck themselves.
Yeah. By the way, they reported the video saying it had sexual content.
Yeah, they reported it. They reported it.
And it basically was like, we don't want to be in Florida. That's like all that it was like. It's like DeSantis stupid, is a piece of shit.
It's just like, it was a stupid video. But the thing that is frightening is that there are so many comments that are, I love him.
Yeah.
DeSantis for president. And they're they're like, oh, this comment section isn't going the way she wanted. It's like, I don't care.
I retweeted a clip today from Pod Save America, and they were interviewing a GOP strategist, or she basically takes the polls for GOP and like, where's it going? And it was like, it's right around the January 6th hearings, all these Republicans that they would poll, you know, that like Trump started to lose favor, and they were just looking to where they can put their energies. And it's DeSantis. Yeah. That's what she said. Every name now is DeSantis. And it's just Trump without his issues. It's Trump. It's who's like Trump with the brain.
Yeah.
And somebody called him scarier. Trump not on steroids is what they called him.
But he's scary.
But they love him everywhere. And to which I say, you're welcome to have him.
Right.
I said it before on the podcast and I will stand by it. He will bring this country to its knees. And I think that's the reckoning that we need to have. I'm for anarchy.
Let's do it.
And let's go. And if y'all fucking around the country think that this guy's so great, you think he's Trump without steroids, I'm telling you, he's Trump on designer drugs. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he looks like he's more appealing. He will bring you to your fucking knees. And that's what he's going to do here. That's what he's going to do.
It's so damn scary.
I've had it. You know, the same thing with Don't Say Gay. Don't Say Gay is, we don't want anybody talking to kindergartners through third grade about their sexuality.
Who does
we
that?
We don't want them. Nobody's going to talk to my kids about what gay is. Nobody should be. It's so you're stupid. Right. Nobody should do that. That's what they sold you on.
Yeah.
And we all knew that that's not what it
but
was. Now they're removing books.
Yeah.
And stopping plays in Duval County. There was a play in Duval at a high school that they were going to put on with two lesbian characters. The state shut it down.
Can you imagine this?
The state just shut down the National Hockey League, NHL, in South Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Was going to have a diversity welcoming. Yeah. Like if you would like to work for the NHL and you're a person of color, you're in the LGBTQ community, if you're a woman, the 90% of the league is white.
Yeah.
90%.
They want
to
change it.
And they're trying to diversify themselves so that they're more inclusive and open to other people that are white. The state heard about it and sent them a letter, and they immediately removed it and canceled the event.
Can you imagine?
Because
how
you know
is this
why.
Free?
You know why? Because of Disney. No other corporation will ever step up to Ron DeSantis again because of what happened to Disney. They'll never do it. They will run and hide. Here's another example. Out today, this Andrew Warren, who was the state attorney in Hillsborough County, which is Tampa area, Florida, when the 15-week abortion ban passed last year, Andrew Warren, somebody asked him at a press conference about it, and he said he would not prosecute anybody who had an abortion after 15 weeks or anybody who performed it. He would not follow that law. And DeSantis popped him and took him out.
Yeah.
You're out. Removed him from power.
Removed him.
Right?
But that's he's not a dictator.
Right. He went and sued. Andrew Warren went and sued. And today, the federal judge in Orlando, who heard the case, said that DeSantis absolutely violated the Constitution, broke the First Amendment of the United States by removing him. He's not allowed to do that, but he's not going to reinstate Andrew Warren.
Yeah.
Because he knows
that he'll be removed next.
He'll be next.
He'll be next.
He'll be the next one on the chopping block.
This is what we are living with. We are instilling fear.
By the way,
in our politicians, in our judges, in our police,
nobody will stand up to him.
In our educators.
These guys in Tallahassee, we're going to hear it again and again and again this session. They're not that bad. You know, when behind closed doors, the Republicans are our
buddies. I don't care.
With all due respect.
I don't care.
To my friend across the aisle.
I don't care.
To my friend across the aisle. The friend across the aisle who's trying to ban books about black people, who's taking my rights away as a woman, who's trying to silence LGBTQ kids who should feel safe and protected in this state. We're telling them to go back in the closet, that they're not who they should be. That's your friend across the aisle. Y'all better fucking step the fuck up. You got to step up. They're not your friends.
No. Who wants that as a friend? First of all.
This motherfucker DeSantis.
Oh, God. Well, that
is really bad. It's really bad.
And the abortion. So recently the FDA approved pharmacies to sell the abortion pills. But because we live in the state of Florida that has a stupid law where you have to have talked to a doctor 24 hours before you can have any abortion procedure, we can't have that in the state of Florida.
They sent a letter.
Can you imagine?
The state of Florida sent a letter to all of the pharmacy corporations in Florida and said, we understand that this is now passed by the FDA. Do not even think about it. Don't even think about it.
We told them
not to do it.
We are in a police state. That's what a police state is. And the people that think this is freedom, again, I don't understand. I don't understand. And even when they came out with this whole thing on the AP African American History course, they're like, this is for academic freedom. I'm like, it doesn't make sense. And I posted in my story, I'm like, this is like this Orwellian doublethink, this idea that you can hold these two opposite ideas in your mind at the same time. Like in the book 1984, it's freedom and slavery, right? No, this is not academic freedom.
If this stands long enough where there's enough of a generation that moves through the public school system and there's no education about black history.
Can you imagine?
And in the university system, there will be enough people who don't remember what happened, right? There'll be enough people.
I mean,
what do you think happens then? What do you think happens? What are you looking for? How do we stop it? How do we stop it? We got to flip the House or we got to flip the Senate in Florida. That's
good
how you
luck.
Do it. And the House is very difficult because there's too many. How do we flip the Senate?
How about we start with a strong leader in the Florida?
Right, we don't have a party. We don't have a party. We don't have a party.
It's time to leave Florida.
About, we're talking about decades and decades of work. What do you think happens in those decades under Republican rule? How long do you think to get to flip the Senate or get a Republican or a Democratic governor? How long until we can undo all of this?
Not in our lifetime.
No way. No way.
So what are we doing here? It's like,
we
got
to get, please, Tina, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. I'm begging. Yeah, I got to get out of here.
We got to go. We got to.
It's enough. God.
All right. Well.
So also Annette Tadeo announced that she's in.
Yeah.
Here's the thing too. How are you running for chair? And I don't see an announcement anywhere except in one article. I have not seen Rick Hoy announce it on Twitter, on his Facebook.
Has he announced?
Instagram. It's only in that one article that we talked about last week. I haven't seen his announcement anywhere. Hmm. Nowhere. So I'm very curious about what's going to happen. Or if he's actually running. And who else is it going to be? So now, right now, we've got three. And, you know.
Well.
I've already said my piece about that. Yeah. Do you want to get into it, or should I say like one or two other? Can I just say two good things?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Girl, let me tell you something. Who's my favorite singer ever?
Phoebe.
Phoebe Bridger.
Hey, Phoebe.
If I could float off this seat, I would be floating. Aww. Okay, let me tell you something. She's in a super group with two other amazing singers, Julianne Baker and Lucy Dacus. I love all three of them. I'm obsessed with all three of them. Of course, Phoebe is my angel forever. But they're in this group together. They're fun, like friends. Ugh. Anyway, they were going to be on a tour together like 6 years ago.
Oh.
And Phoebe said to the two of them, you know, wouldn't it be fun if we did a song, like made a song together, and then like on the tour we could come out and sing it together? And they're like, yeah. They go into the studio. They end up making six songs. They put it out as an EP. And the name of the band is Boy Genius, right?
Aww.
Brilliant songs, beautiful songs. Sometimes on tour, one of them would pop out and they would sing the song.
Oh, how cute.
Fucking amazing, right? Never been on tour together because like COVID hits, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So on Twitter, because I'm on Phoebe Stan everywhere on Twitter, which I don't even know what that means, but I just found out it means you really like somebody.
Yeah. Oh my God. You're
Phoebe Stan
cute.
On Twitter, right? So all this Boy Genius news starts popping up this week. And I'm like, oh, they said Boy Genius just changed stuff off their Instagram. And I'm like, oh my God, like something's fucking happening, right? They fucking put out three songs. They announced a new record. And they put, I'm gonna cry.
Don't cry.
It's so stupid, but it just makes me so fucking happy. They get the cover of Rolling Stone magazine and they do an exact copy of when Nirvana was on in their suits. Have you seen these pictures?
I haven't seen them yet.
Tina, holy
I know
fuck.
The Nirvana one, but I haven't
it's
seen
it. It's incredible. And so they do these pictures, and even the pictures on the inside are the same ones from the Nirvana thing.
Oh, wow.
You are going to... Wait, I got to show you these pictures really quick. Look at this. Remember that?
Oh, I have goosebumps.
It's the same. Like, even Dave Grohl's hand is where Julianne's hand is. I don't know if you remember this picture. Oh, wait, let me find the other picture. There's another...
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's the cover of the album.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm like in heaven. I can't even fucking tell you. Oh, that's it.
All right. That's okay.
Anyway. I'm fucking obsessed. I'm obsessed with
I
them.
I love this.
I'm obsessed
makes
with
me
all three
happy.
Of them. I might have had some dreams about them in this week.
Hi.
Seriously. I think about how it would be if I met them, and I'm definitely a punisher for them. And here's the other thing. Like, they all have a tooth like tattooed on their arms. Like they, like that's the cover of their album. You can all see that tooth, like one tooth tattoo. And it's because they have a song called Bite the Hand. And it's about their fans and how their fans, like when they would meet their fans, all three of them have the same sort of like girly obsessed, like, you know, depressed fans like me. And so they, like they would dump all their shit on them. Like, you have no idea what this song means to me. Da, 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 da. And they just can't take it. It's like too emotional.
It's a
They're
lot.
Like,
it's a lot.
Too much.
It's a lot.
But it's about like, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. They're also your fans, so you can't be a dick, right?
Yeah.
Also, I'd love to have that. I'd love for someone to be like, I love your podcast so much.
Oh, yeah. Like, where are you?
And then
where
I'd be like, oh, get the fuck out of here.
Maybe Phoebe's a fan.
Oh, my
Phoebe,
God.
Phoebe, can you listen to the podcast? My God. Phoebe! Oh my God.
I would fucking cry so much. I would cry so much.
Oh, my God. Phoebe, are you out there? Listen, oh please, God. Listen to the pod. Listen to the pod.
Look, I'm crying. I'm a Punisher. Please do not listen to the podcast. I would fucking die. Her music means so much to me. I can't even begin. It's too fucking... Okay, I can't.
I love
can't
just this.
Thinking about it. I can't
no,
take
it's
it.
Amazing.
Oh, my God. Tina, what am I going to do with myself?
Ugh.
All right.
Amazing.
Anyway, so Boy Genius is coming out, and they're going to go on tour and probably not come to Florida. But if they do, I'm going. Fuck everything.
Why would anybody want to come here?
I mean, I saw Phoebe last May, right? And she was standing on the stage and she was like, 1, 2, 3, say fuck DeSantis. And we got to do that.
Yes!
So that was fucking good. She's my boo.
Ooh, DeSantis is probably like, Phoebe's not allowed in Florida anymore.
Oh my God.
God.
Girl.
Phoebe for governor.
Oh, God. I can't take it for everything. Oh, all right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So today.
Okay.
I am covering mutiny in space.
What? Is this a Muppets movie?
Wait a minute. I'm going to put a Muppets movie. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It should be. It should be a fucking Muppets movie.
Oh, I love the Muppets.
Everybody knows Muppets Take Manhattan is the
best
Muppets movie.
Oh, my God.
Don't look at Tess. Don't
look at me. I love Muppets Take Manhattan. I love that movie.
Hello.
Oh, my God. That's the one with the diamonds.
No. God damn it. That was the Great Muppet Caper.
Oh, I like that one.
Get
that's out, the one
get
I
the
like.
Fuck. You see?
Wait, which is the main
podcast
wait.
Over. Cancel this podcast.
Wait,
cancel.
Which is the one where they take Manhattan? I thought that was the one.
It's where they...
Oh, no. It's the Great Muppet Caper. You're right. With the diamond.
The one where they Muppets Take Manhattan is they were just in college. They graduated.
Oh, okay.
My favorite thing about Muppets is like... Everybody's human and they just pretend like this is fucking perfectly normal that Muppets
so
are around.
I love Miss Piggy. Like when Miss Piggy's into someone, it's like...
Get about
it's
it, bro.
So good.
Muppets Take Manhattan has Joan Rivers and Miss Piggy working at the makeup counter together. It's epic. It's fucking legendary. It's fucking legendary.
Well, I may have to watch something Muppety tonight. Oh, you know what I mean? God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're saying. I'm going to do the same fucking thing. Hey. Okay. Let me just say something else really fucking quick. We're going to cover Mutiny in Space. Okay.
I don't even know what this is. I'm like, what? Oh, let me take a sip. When the hell did this happen?
I don't know, but also, doesn't it sound like a dream come true? Like, take me the fuck out of here. I'm ready.
Oh, yeah.
Mutiny
doesn't sound good, but going to space sounds okay. Yeah. I mean, I used to be afraid of space, but now I'm like, God, you throw me out into the... let me float away. Like the David Bowie song. Yeah. I'm just floating
like
by.
Have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, you know...
Oh, it's so good.
We don't do...
Marvel?
We don't do Marvel.
Oh, shit. Oh my God, canceled. We're canceled.
We're canceled.
Well, I love those are my favorite Marvel movies.
I know.
Anyway, when someone goes in space, they kind of start to break up.
The little tree Groot dude?
Yeah.
Okay. I know Groot. It's like, I'm Groot.
You'd love this. The soundtrack's really great. You'd like it. Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Anyway, let's go to space, honey.
Take me to space.
Let's float away. Woo! We're never getting it.
All right, this is Friday night recording.
Yeah, seriously, stop.
Okay.
Also, my Christmas tree still. Has anybody noticed? You know who noticed? The same person noticed last year.
Your mom.
My mother. I just happened to see this clip and I was like, all right, take it easy, old woman. Old lady, back it up. All right. I know I'm busy. Got things to do.
Oh my God. Okay.
I literally have nothing to do. Okay.
Mutiny in space.
Skylab was the first United States space station launched by NASA, occupied for about 24 weeks between May 1973 and February 1974. Skylab had a mass of 199,750 pounds with a 31,000-pound Apollo Command, you know, those arms that like, and service module attached. It included a workshop, a solar observatory, and several hundred life science and physical science experiments. It was launched uncrewed into the low Earth orbit by a Saturn V rocket. Okay. Three crewed missions designated Skylab 2, Skylab 3, and Skylab 4 were made to Skylab in the Apollo Command and Service Modules. The first crewed mission, Skylab 2, launched on May 25th, 1973, and the crew deployed. They basically went up and did a lot of repairs. The astronauts went up the first time.
Okay.
This thing was all breaking apart. They deployed a parasol-like sunshade through a small instrument port from the inside of the station, bringing the station temperatures down to acceptable levels. Because remember, it's not too far off.
Ooh.
Yeah. And preventing overheating that would have melted the plastic insulation inside the station.
Jesus. See, that's what, this is how, why space is scary.
Yeah.
Because then you're out there, shit goes bad. Like, what are you going to do?
Okay, but let's do this. Let's take a temperature throughout the story. Is this still scarier than Florida? No.
No.
The crew conducted
a melting space station.
Fucking, it's better that, well, at least I'd look through the Earth, I'd look at Earth and go, see, at least I'm not fucking there. And then you get a telescope, you see Bugs Bunny doing this to Florida. You're like, get it, Bugs! Saw that fucking state, let it float away.
Oh my God.
As nature and God intended.
Yep.
The crew conducted further repairs via two spacewalks, and the crew stayed in orbit with Skylab for 28 days. Two additional missions followed with the launch dates of July 28th, 1973, that was Skylab 3, and November 16th, 1973, which was Skylab 4, and mission durations of 59 and 84 days, respectively. And the last Skylab crew, which was Skylab 4, returned to Earth on February 8th, 1974. So we're going
to
talk about...
a long time to be...
A long time, 84 days. Yeah,
floating around in space.
Yeah, and so we're going to talk about Skylab 4.
Okay.
That's the crew we're going to talk about. Okay. So Skylab 4 mission began with the launch of Gerald P. Carr, Edward Gibson, and William R. Pogue in an Apollo Command and Service Module on a Saturn IB rocket from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Let's also remember, this is before space shuttles, right? Space shuttles is like what our generation knows.
Yeah.
These giant, right? These guys would get on a rocket. Can that would shoot them. They'd get out, you know. It would, yeah. You know, but then it would fall.
Yeah.
It wouldn't stay up there. You know
it's,
what I mean?
It's so weird. Like the whole
very
concept.
Weird.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, ugh. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So a total of 6,051 astronaut utilization hours were tallied by the Skylab 4 astronauts performing scientific experiments in the areas of medical activities, solar observations, earth resources, observation of the comet Kohoutek, and other experiments. But things got off to a bad start after the crew attempted to hide Pogue's early space sickness from flight surgeons, a fact discovered by mission controllers after downloading onboard voice recordings.
Oh, wait, so somebody's up there sick.
Yeah.
But they have people up there to help them?
No, but they're supposed to tell
down
people on Earth, like hey, this thing is happening.
We have a problem.
Yeah, like it could evolve into something else, and they didn't. But what they did is they're recording them the whole time. And so they're downloading these recordings.
And they're like, oh, shit, this guy's sick.
Yeah, they hear the guy, they hear the three of them talk about how this guy's sick. And they're why didn't you tell us?
I don't even know what.
Space sickness is probably like
nausea,
seasickness.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Ugh. So astronaut office chief Alan B. Shepard, who was also a astronaut before this time, reprimanded them for this admission, saying, quote, they had made a fairly serious error in judgment, end quote. He ends up getting better, but, you know, still, they're already hiding shit, which is weird, right?
Yeah, but, and I wonder why. Like, what's the big deal to say that he's, it's not like they're, they would they have brought them home?
Maybe they, or just to at least monitor, because remember, When they're doing experiments and they're sending these guys up there, the astronauts themselves are also an experiment. Okay, so like if the longer they're up there, the way that their bodies react, how they are psychologically, this is all being monitored as well because it's all something that it's the data that needs to be taken down. This is all for future reference, right?
And so when Shepard came out, like he reprimanded them, like he spoke to them like personally.
And he said
he was one of the guys on the moon.
Yeah. Okay, so the crew had problems. I think so.
Alan B. Shepard, I think he, like, wasn't he the one that, like, played golf on the moon or you know, oh, God,
it's such a white dude thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wasn't it something like
golf
that
on the moon?
Were they hit the golf ball? Didn't that happen? Or am I imagining that? I don't know.
You're imagining it. Because that's fucking insane. That's so white. Oh my God. I've never heard of something so fucking wild in my life. Whitey's on the moon. Whitey's on the moon.
Whitey's on the moon.
That's fucking right.
God.
Fucking the guy everything. Was right. I'm down here struggling, but Whitey's on the moon.
And he's playing golf.
Yeah, he's playing fucking golf. At probably another golf course I'll never be able to go to because I'm not fucking white. Son of a bitch. But, you know, God forbid we learn about history. Yeah. Why would we want to do that? Okay. So the crew had problems adjusting to the same workload level that their predecessors did. And the crew's initial task of unloading and stowing the thousands of items needed for their lengthy mission also proved to be overwhelming.
Oh.
The schedule for the activation sequence dictated lengthy work periods with a large variety of tasks to be performed. And the crew soon found themselves tired and behind schedule. There's also this great quote. I forgot to put it in here, but it was like, basically when they were complaining about this, they're like, you're working us 70 hours a week. Like if we were on Earth, you know, this wouldn't be a thing.
Oh my God.
You know, which I thought was so fucking
That's so funny. Maybe they
if we were on Earth.
Yeah. If we did some calculations, just like you're weightless in space. So you don't need the same.
Yeah. It's twice as much work, motherfucker. I got to float to go get this shit off. Get the fuck out of here. And it's not the right kind of float. You know what I mean?
I wonder, like, you know, cause they're doing whatever the hell space work that they're doing that probably ensures their safety or the completion of a mission. And if they have a certain set of days that they're up there and days to complete it and now they're behind.
Yeah. Could be a problem.
Or it could be potentially dangerous, or it could be like, wow, this mission, we didn't get to even start it, let alone complete it. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
you're
a
right.
lot of money.
Yeah.
Woo!
So as the work progressed, the astronauts complained of being pushed too hard and ground controllers complained they were not getting enough work done. NASA determined major contributing factors were a large number of new tasks added shortly before the launch with little or no training and searches for equipment out of place at the station. So the last guys were fucking messy. Put your shit away, bitch. How the fuck? I got to come here and clean up. What am I, your mother now?
This
up here
is
in
not
fucking space?
Right. This is not right.
So then there's this communications break, which is never supposed to happen. Okay? This is like huge. If you thought this guy getting sick in space was something, think about having no contact with ground control and what's happening during that time.
Wait, so did ground control say we're cutting you off like as punishment? Or they're like, screw you, ground control, like
that part.
They went dark.
They went dark.
Oh, good for them. Right. But what are they doing up there?
But there's but we're gonna go back and forth of like, was this a planned thing? Did they do it on purpose? But all right, let's see.
Oh, are they like, hey, let's just vacate up in space?
Got a beautiful view.
We got a beautiful view. We'll just complain a little bit about the work. It's too much work.
My God. You know what you guys need up here? A froze machine.
Yeah.
I think that would be perfect.
So then they'll be like, I don't want to talk to them anymore. Yeah. And they cut it off and they party for 2 weeks.
You know what? I'm turning my cell phone off. You won't even be able to get me on
Do
my vacay.
Do not disturb.
Dare you. How much work I had to do to get here?
Oh my God, I love it. I love if they're just like, do not disturb, babe.
They're like this, like,
and they have a margarita floating by.
No, bitch, froze.
Oh my God. Okay.
Okay.
Friday night recording.
I know, I'm just gonna be there. Okay. This is going too well. Okay. Yeah, I'm like crying.
It's okay.
So, an unplanned communications break occurred during the Skylab 4 mission. Its crew did not communicate with Mission Control for the portion of one orbit during which Skylab had line of sight on its tracking stations. So I looked it up. It's 93 minutes for them to orbit the Earth.
Okay.
So for an hour and a half.
But it's probably worrisome of people on Earth, like what's going on. Yeah.
According to the crew, in order to catch up, they decided that only one crew member needed to be present for the daily briefing instead of all three, allowing the other two to complete ongoing tasks. Smart.
Okay.
At one point, according to both Carr and Gibson, the crew forgot to turn their radios on for the daily briefing, leading to a lack of communications between the crew and ground control for that one orbit.
They didn't forget.
No.
They didn't forget.
I don't think so either.
Come on.
This is what some people called a strike because both Carr and Gibson stated that the event partially contributed to a discussion on December 30th, 1973, in which the crew and ground control capsule communicator Richard H. Truly, revisited the astronaut schedule in light of the fatigue. So this happened on December 28th, and 2 days later, they're like, you know what? Maybe we should negotiate. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Look at them. Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Mm-hmm. Carr called this the, quote, first sensitivity session in space, end quote. NASA agreed to assign the crew a more relaxed schedule, and productivity for the remaining mission significantly increased, surpassing that of the prior Skylab 3 mission. The communications failure was treated by the media as a deliberate act and became known as the Skylab strike or Skylab mutiny.
Oh, I love it.
Me too.
Meanwhile, they're up in space. They don't even know. Everyone's talking shit about them back home.
One of the first, well, it doesn't come out till later. So like one of the first accounts reporting that a strike aboard Skylab had occurred was published in the New Yorker on August 22nd, 1976 by Henry S. F. Cooper, who claimed that the crew were alleged to have stopped working on December 28th, 1973. The Harvard Business School published a 1980 report called Strike in Space, also claiming that the astronauts had gone on strike, but without citing any sources. Subsequently, enough media gave weight to the popular notion that there was a Skylab strike on December 28th, 1973 to ensure the narrative was established. NASA, the astronauts involved, and spaceflight historians have confirmed that no strike occurred. So nobody at NASA is saying it happened.
Because they're not going to admit that their people defied them in any way.
Yeah. NASA had suggested the events of December 28th may have been confused with a day of off that was given to the crew on December 26th following the completion of a long spacewalk by Carr and Pogue the day before. NASA added that there may have also been confusion with a known ground equipment failure on December 25th.
Oh God, you guys, you're protesting too much. Just let it go.
Both Carr and Gibson have affirmed that it was a series of misjudgments and not the crew's intent that caused them to miss the briefing.
Space mutiny.
despite these reports, the notion of a deliberate action persists in the media. Skylab 4 astronauts completed 1,214 Earth orbits. They traveled 34.5 million miles in 84 days, 1 hour and 16 minutes.
That's wild.
Love it so much. So that's the end of kind of like of the
space,
strike.
Space but mutiny.
The space mutiny. But my favorite thing I loved about this too was the re-entry of the Skylab, because they were on it just those three missions and then it needs to come down.
Yeah.
So like what happens when it comes down? So Skylab's demise in 1979 was an international media event with t-shirts and hats with bullseyes and Skylab repellent with a money back guarantee wagering on the time and place of a re-entry and nightly news report. So it's got to come back in.
And everyone's and like, everyone's where is it coming?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, imagine if like something goes wrong and that.
Yeah.
How big is that?
Yeah, it's big. It was huge. What did I say? 199,000 pounds? Like, Jesus. It's crazy. The San Francisco Examiner offered a $10,000 prize for the first piece of Skylab delivered to its offices. The competing San Francisco Chronicle offered $200,000 if a subscriber suffered personal or property damage. Neighborhood painted a target so that the station would have something to aim for, a resident said.
Do anything for money. Yeah. Jesus.
A report commissioned by NASA calculated that the odds were 1 in 152 of debris hitting any human and the odds of 1 in 7 of debris hitting a city of 100,000 people or more.
I mean, it's better than the lotto.
Yeah. Those odds are not great. Special teams were readied to head to any country hit by debris. The event caused so much panic in the Philippines that President Ferdinand Marcos appeared on national television to reassure the public that they were going to be okay.
I mean, it probably sounds really scary that this thing is going to come crumbling and breaking apart. Yeah. What, it just breaks apart and little pieces fall everywhere?
Yes, yeah.
That's wild.
I know. A week before reentry, NASA forecasted that it would occur between July 10th and 14th, with the 12th the most likely date. In the hours before the event, ground controllers adjusted Skylab's orientation to minimize the risk of reentry on a populated area so they can move it for so long before it starts to break. They aimed the station at a spot 810 miles south-southeast of Cape Town, South Africa, and reentry began at approximately 1637 Universal Time? I forgot. I looked this up. UTC. I forgot what that stood for.
I don't know. Is it like military time?
Yeah. July 11th, 1979. The station did not burn up as fast as NASA expected.
Oh, great.
Debris landed about 300 miles east of Perth, Western Australia, due to a 4% calculation error.
Jesus.
And was found between Esperance, Western Australia, and Rawlina. Residents and an airline pilot saw dozens of colorful flares as large pieces broke up in the atmosphere. The debris landed in almost unpopulated areas.
Thank God.
But the sightings were still caused NASA to fear human injury or property damage.
Well, this is Australia. Unpopulated, but was it like indigenous areas, I wonder?
I don't know. What I mean? But it wasn't fucking South Africa, which they were aiming for.
That's like a way far off.
Bruh. 4% is a big fucking error. The Shire of Esperance, which is like a little town, lightheartedly fined NASA $400 for littering.
Oh, were they hobbits? Were there hobbits there that were like, you blew up our little hobbit hole?
Yes. The fine was, The fine was written off 3 months later, but was eventually paid on behalf of NASA in April 2009 after Scott Barley of Highway Radio raised the funds from his morning show listeners. Stan Thornton found 24 pieces of Skylab at his home in Esperance, and a Philadelphia businessman flew him and his parents and his girlfriend to San Francisco, where he collected the examiner's prize of that $10,000 and another $1,000 from the businessman.
Wow.
Yeah. The Miss Universe 1979 pageant was scheduled for July 20th, 1979 in Perth, and a large piece of Skylab debris was displayed on the stage.
But isn't it like radioactive or something?
Oh God, that'd be so cool.
Would it, or are people dying?
No.
From their exposure to Skylab?
We got COVID, bitch. We're survivors. Are you kidding? Analysis of the debris showed the station had disintegrated 10 miles above the Earth, much lower than expected. This NASA is the brightest minds over there.
I know. What's going on, NASA?
We're a little too close to Kennedy Space Center, if you ask me.
Jesus.
After the demise of Skylab, NASA focused on the reusable Space Lab module, an orbital workshop that could be deployed with the space shuttle and returned to Earth. So now, you know, we have the next American Space Station project, which was Space Station Freedom, which was merged into the International Space Station in 1993. And then we had space shuttles that would launch and come home. So
isn't that wild? It's still wild to me that even happens.
Yeah, it's the best.
You know, like we're sitting here right now and people go up to space.
It is crazy.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But you have to have no fear too, to kind of.
I just, you know, they do all those like the simulations and stuff because you can get really sick.
Yeah.
That alone, like, I don't know if I'd be able to handle it. Like the space sickness.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
I wouldn't rat you out though. I'd be like these other guys.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Tina's fine. What the fuck? We have cameras now. Oh. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh my God. No, she just drinks too much. She drinks too much.
Like, I've been vomiting in a bag. There's nothing to see here. We're good.
Oh my God.
I got you, bitch. I got you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Shannon.
I'm Jamie.
We're Married with Television, marriedwithtv.com. We are a couple of Hollywood normies on the outskirts of the film and TV industry, and we talk about our favorite TV shows, music, and movies, and sometimes they talk back to us.
Sometimes they do.
Our podcast is Married with Television, one word, on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and SoundCloud.
Possibly Amazon soon. And we are a proud member of the Odd Pods Media Network.
Married with TV.
MarriedwithTV.com.
All right, what's up? What you got?
Okay, today I'm going to tell you the story of John Joe Gray. So this story is a little different because I'm not talking about a politician. I feel like I usually do a politician or someone who's like mucky. This is very similar to like your the Ayman Bundy kind of story.
Yeah.
And it's about someone who challenged the U.S. government and continues to do so. So
lovely.
I know.
Will he be at our doorstep next week? I mean,
No. This guy's like off the grid kind of guy. So John Joe Green is a self-proclaimed sovereign citizen who doesn't believe in federal authority. But after an arrest, he ends up leading the longest armed standoff in U.S. history.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a funny, this story is just like a short and sweet and just like, what is up with this guy? So the story takes place beginning in, it's in Anderson County, Texas, around 1999-2000.
Oh, God.
But before I go into it, I want to tell you, basically, I kind of chose this because we talk all the time about how everything is political, right? The food we eat, the roads we drive on. And for most societies to function properly, like money is needed. You have to have taxes. Like it's just, it is what it is. And I believe that people have the right to refuse to pay taxes, like in an act of civil disobedience. Like if you think of, You know, like if you don't like what your tax dollars are being used for, right, you then don't pay it. But you got to pay the consequence of that, like going to jail. Like Thoreau was arrested, you know, way back when for not paying a poll tax, right? Because for him, it was an act of anti-slavery. It was a protest. Like, I'm not going to pay tax dollars if your tax dollars are going to be part of an institution that allows slavery to continue. Right? So there were people that did that. And then he sat in jail because of it. But it was his way of protesting slavery and drawing attention to slavery at the time, right? So like stuff like that, great. Like, go do your civil disobedience. But this guy, he had his own reasons for acting that the way that he does. And like outside of like an abolitionist movement for slavery or something like that, now we've seen that there's these like extreme like tax movements where folks are like so anti-government, you know, like a lot of these crazy people that like DeSantis, you know, and they, you know, we don't want big government and all that stuff. And they oppose federal income taxes, which is very different, I think, from an act of civil disobedience. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So,
but, you know, I would say, where do we draw the line on that? Like, how can we... You know,
he just doesn't want to pay taxes because he's like, I don't feel like the government, I owe the government anything. And it's like, well, if everybody did that, then, you know, like, how are we repairing the road outside?
And isn't this the, you know, when they say like when they tell you to leave Florida because of a TikTok video, isn't this when you should leave the country?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you feel like you're not getting the best out of what your money is going into the country, and don't you think that you should just leave them?
And if you think that you're a sovereign citizen, meaning like you don't belong to this country,
you're actually not,
then why are you here?
Yeah, but you're actually not. Yeah. If you're living on the land,
right?
You got to get the fuck out.
So this guy, John Joe Gray, I got a lot of the information.
Just the fact that there's three names, I'm already fucking annoyed.
His background, I got a lot from...
By the way, that's why he doesn't want to fill out taxes. It's too much to write all these fucking names down. He's over it. He gets to the form and he's like, fuck.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to do
John J.
My name is John Jacob Jingleheimer. Remember that?
Yes. But I just like to let you go.
So the Southern Poverty Law Center basically has a page on him describing him as... as a militia guy.
Jesus.
And he was extremely religious. He organized meetings for the Texas Constitutional Militia, which was a group that formed 1 year after Waco. He was also part of a secessionist group called the Republic of Texas, but he left them after. So there was this like violent kidnapping that that group did. And he was like, I don't want to be part of this group because it went a little too far for him.
All right. That's promising.
And then
to
another
hear.
Group he was affiliated with was called the Embassy of Heaven. And this group believes that God is their governing body, not any other authority like a state or federal governing body. So this group is so anti-government that they give their folks their driver's license, license plates, business licenses, etc., right? So that they don't have to use anything created by the government. So you can go to them and say, I want a driver's license. And they're like, here. And they print out like their driver's license, which P.S., it doesn't count.
Yeah,
as
I was
going to
say, if you get pulled over,
it doesn't
it's not a real
count
license plate.
As a license plate, right?
And, but I guess they don't recognize the police anyway, so
right,
what's the difference?
Right, and Gray was once stopped for using one of their license plates and like got in trouble for it. So the Embassy of Heaven.
I just imagine like a piece of cardboard with like a crayon. Yeah. Just like drawing like numbers and shit.
It's
and
so like, stupid. It's probably all like aliases and not their real names and, you know.
Wow. It so, is kind of interesting.
Yeah. But. So Embassy of Heaven has a page, like they have a website and they have a page dedicated to John Joe Gray with a quote attributed to him. And this is his quote from November 11th, 1998. Quote, I have come out of the system of the corporate U.S. government. I use no social security number, do no banking, pay no income tax, do not carry license or insurance. Like, he's just like, I want no part of it. Nothing. Nothing.
So do we know what his beef is? He just doesn't like the way they spend the money, or what's the beef?
He just doesn't want, he doesn't believe that any governing agent has the right to have authority over him. And only God has that authority. Hmm. So his property, because he lives on like this ranch, and his property is covered in signs. So when you lead up to the compound, and I just wanted to read a few of them because I thought that they were fun.
Yes.
One is, disobedience to tyranny is obedience to God. Another one is, vaccinations equal annihilation. Now, this was from 2009, the article. So it isn't about COVID, but there were anti-vaxxers because, you know, we hear anti-vaxxers now, but there were anti-vaxxers well before COVID.
Well, he must, his head must have went through the fucking roof during COVID.
Oh, my God.
My God.
If he even knew about him, he's all he's clustered away on this ranch.
Oh. Now I got a plus. We're doing pros and cons here, people. Pros, no COVID, no COVID exposure. Con, right. Some crazy fucking signs.
Some crazy. And then my favorite sign is solution to tyranny, and it's a sign on a tree next to a noose.
Oh. Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh, it's so
this
scary.
This is it. All right. So the major incident with this guy,
my God.
According to several sites, and you know, you could go through our sources. I use the Southern Poverty Law Center a lot for this week's notes. Gary was stopped for a routine traffic incident. It was reported that the traffic stop happened on Christmas Eve in 1999, and Gray was a passenger in the car. So he was not driving the car, but the car was pulled over and he was a passenger. And he had a loaded gun without a permit, which today probably wouldn't have been an issue for Gray, right? Yeah. I don't know, it's Texas, right? But then because he didn't have a permit, and at the time the officers were like, okay, you need to step out of the car, right? He doesn't want to. And allegedly he took his sweet old time getting out. The cops get physical and like try to get him out of the car. They scuffle about, and it resulted in Gray biting this Texas state trooper.
Oh my God.
And he also allegedly went for one of the officer's guns as well. Which of course, like, okay, that like now you're taking it too far. Now this officer is probably like, my life is in danger.
Absolutely.
It's me or you,
here
right?
Here we go.
So they arrest Gray for assault, and it becomes a felony assault, right? Because he's the state trooper. And the other issue is that allegedly, there were documents found in the car that he was riding in that explained how to make a bomb.
Oh.
And how and where to place it on a Dallas highway.
Oh.
Gray denied any knowledge of it, claiming, hey, it wasn't my car. I don't know what's in this car. Okay.
Wait.
I just got to ride, imagine? Man. I'm just riding
You're
along.
You're riding in someone's car and you look down and there's a paper about how to make a bomb. I'd be like, we got to pull over. I got
to
call
it's
Uber.
It's time to go.
Yeah, I got to get a lift out of this fucking car.
Hey, man. I don't know why I imagine him like sounding like Chong from Cheech and Chong. But like, man, I was just riding this car, man. I didn't, their bomb? No, man.
I wish he was that chill.
He's not. Like no, he's like,
not my car. Not my paper. You don't have any right over me. Nobody has right over me but God.
So speaking on the incident, Gray stated, quote, somehow his hand got in my mouth.
This guy's unbelievable. I mean, my God.
Somehow, just magically, the trooper's like, here, take it. Maybe they're Italian. Italians do this. Like this, right? So maybe the trooper was Italian. I don't know. But so he says, somehow his hand got in my mouth. I bit down and I wouldn't let go. They sprayed me with the pepper spray 3 times. So here's why Gray really got in trouble, though. He jumped bail, which means, for those of you that may not know, is he paid his bail, right? And when you pay your bail, they're like, okay, you got to come back to whatever day for your trial. But he no-showed to the trial. And the Southern Poverty Law Center article and an article from the Dallas Observer notes that he did send in a letter to the court. So it's like, hey, I'm not showing, but here's my reason why. And he basically said, he's like, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
And he said, P.S., quote, if anyone tries to come in here, they'd better bring plenty of body bags.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? That's the P.S. at the end of your letter to the court? I mean.
Can you imagine, like, you're the judge. You're like, oh, this guy didn't show up. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was a threat.
Yeah.
Now it's a threat.
But like,
how much jail time would he have gotten, really? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he did assault an officer. I feel like this wouldn't have gone so far.
I mean, it's not good. It's not good.
It's not good, but it's not. You're not going to jail for 100 years.
Yeah, why take it to that level? Or you could just say anybody who tries to come here is going to have the wrath of God on them or something. Yeah, God protects my land and don't come on it. Why are you threatening body bags? I mean, it's so fucking stupid.
It's crazy.
You're an idiot.
I mean, you're taking it way to an extreme.
Yeah.
So the cops, of course, they attempt to hunt him down, but he escaped to his ranch, and his ranch was in a place called Trinidad, Texas, and it's north of, it's It's like north of, you know, Houston, Austin, and up there. It's like where Oklahoma and Arkansas are. It's like kind of up in this little corner there.
Okay.
So that's where he's like holed himself up on his ranch. And the charges were felony assault. And he had charges for failure to pay taxes. But there was never a trial, no sentencing, nothing. So Gray basically barricaded himself on the ranch with his family.
Wow.
And he thought, because remember, this is like 1999, 2000, right?
I'm sorry, is he married with children?
Oh, yeah.
What?
No, like kids grew up on this ranch, like without ever leaving.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So Gray, he barricades himself on the ranch with his family.
Wow.
And he really believed like there's going to be a siege. They're going to come in with like, they're going to come after me.
Well,
right.
You said it's after Waco, right?
Right.
I mean, this is like, it's not like, no, he hasn't seen this.
Right. And it wasn't. And he was prepared. Right. I mean, this is a guy, he's got the guns and he said he's ready for a showdown. And in fact, he also said at the time that he was, you know, he was ready to kill, that he would kill anyone who tried to seize the ranch. So how do you live on a ranch without any contact? And like they were living like totally off the grid, like a pre-20th century life. So no internet, no phones, cell phones or landlines, no electricity, and no running water.
What?
Yeah. So I wonder.
Wait.
Yeah.
He had a woman living this way? There was a woman.
There's a whole family, children.
He had a wife who agreed
children,
to live this way.
Grandchildren. Yes.
Wait. Grandchildren?
Yes.
Well, how did they come around? How did the kids leave and meet somebody and then?
So one of his granddaughters at the time was 13, so she wasn't quite born. The daughters could go in, like the family could go in, and then one of the daughters was like, we're going to stay and live here.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah.
This is the most shocking part, because there's actually other people besides him.
Because the police are after Gray. They can't arrest the daughter.
Right.
So like, you know.
But knowing there's kids there, they're going to be less likely, especially after Waco and what a disaster
it
was.
This is exactly why they did not do it. That is 100% why they didn't go in. So one article noted that the reason that they live off the grid is because they stopped paying their bills. So the water and electricity are cut off. So they relied on wood-burning stoves, kerosene, river and well water. They had a vegetable garden. They would fish in the river. And they also relied on donations of clothes and whatnot from folks who wanted to help. Because there's also like people like them that are like, you know, we'll bring stuff into you.
Nobody's working. Nobody's making money. Like nobody's.
He did work, but like.
Like probably cash.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing with taxes coming out.
And again, like they really believed
that
the government was coming for them
and
that they would be attacked. Well, so this was the other thing. Remember, so like I said, he had kids, grandkids, his wife, all on this ranch. And they all took turns guarding the place like sentinels. So they had a lookout and like, you know, he would take up guarding for however many hours and the grandkids like, and they would take shifts.
Yeah.
Like standing guard.
Yeah.
It's cuckoo. And these children, they don't know anything else. They're raised with people saying they're coming to get us.
Yeah.
Like you got to know how to use a gun. You got to know how to do that. You know,
Waco, there were children at Waco shooting at the officers that came through there. It's not unheard of. You get enough people in a room, you can convince them of anything.
Right.
You know?
And if you're born into something and you have nothing else as a reference, what are you going to do?
You believe the people who are telling you what's going on.
Yeah. So commenting to Steve Campbell of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram about the standoff in 2017, Gray said, quote, "We're here because two highway patrolmen lied about what happened. Land of the free and home of the brave, that's a bunch of bull." Another article from The Observer notes that Gray claimed that the officer put him in a chokehold, which caused him to protect himself. So he's like, I was only protecting myself and they're lying. And then he also stated, quote, "We fear no man. We believe in an eye for an eye and a bullet for a bullet." Mm. So like you said, the cops don't go charging in because of Waco, Texas, which was 1993. This is 1999. It's not that far away.
Mm-mm.
And they didn't want a similar scenario because of those kids being there. And according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, the cops even said that the Grays had better weapons than they did. So they're like, we're not risking it.
Yeah.
In 2017, Sheriff Ray Nutt, the fourth sheriff since the standoff started in 2000, told Steve Campbell of the Chronicle, quote, "John Joe Gray is not worth it. 10 of him It's not worth going up there and getting one of my young deputies killed.
Yeah. Especially, you know, if he was wanted for something more serious. Right. Not that this is not a crime. This guy should absolutely be in fucking jail for whatever.
Right.
You know.
But it's not worth children and other people dying at the end of the day. But here's the thing. After 15 years. So he was, I mean, when I tell you.
This is the longest standoff.
15 years.
That's incredible.
You know.
That's something.
The charges were dropped.
Whoa.
And I don't know. So, like, I couldn't find, like, the exact reasoning, but the Bend Bulletin reported that then district attorney for Anderson County, Douglas Lowe, said, quote, "I didn't do that to concede victory to that guy. It had been going on for 15 years, yes. And somebody just had to make a decision that it was time to say it's over." But they go to him, I think, in 2016, and they're like, "Yo, you're not under arrest anymore."
Yo.
And he's like, "What?" And he calls and finds out that it's over. But then he's like, "I don't believe," you know, like he still doesn't believe anybody. Yeah. Right. So, but then he's in trouble again because then they find out like he still owes $35,000 in back taxes. So they're like, "Oh, he's not out of trouble yet." It was like the 2016 article. I'm like, this guy.
Oh my God.
But he said, "Yeah, I owe $35,000." But he said he's ready to have another standoff until the government again. He's like, "I'll do it again. I don't care." Like, he's not gonna pay. So like, wow. It's just he's not gonna pay. And then here's some fun stuff. There were so many fun little things. Guess which Hollywood guy came to visit Gray at the ranch in the early days of the standoff?
Oh, hold on. What year is this? 1999?
2000. Think Texas.
Oh, is it McConaughey?
No.
Wait, stop. Not Harrelson.
No.
Stop. Don't tell me.
I know. I don't know.
It was a Hollywood person?
Yeah, and he had like a lot of jokes made about him. Like, you know, if I say it, you'll know. It's Chuck Norris.
Ew.
I know.
Texas Ranger?
Yes, Texas Ranger.
Was he
remember,
on the range?
Do you remember those Chuck Norris? It was like, you know, Chuck Norris can build a snowman out of rain. Like, it was a stupid thing. Like, do you remember that?
No.
Oh, my God.
He went and visited him.
I mean, he's a right-wing nut.
Well, yeah.
And he went there to try and get him free legal counsel to end a standoff, right? But, like, Gray is like,
Bitch, why don't you mind your own fucking business, Chuck Norris?
And then another nut associated with this story is Alex Jones.
No!
He decided to share a story on his little radio show.
Little.
Bankrupt Alex Jones, liar Alex Jones, disgusting human being Alex Jones, basically said that the feds were going to go attack Gray's compound armored vehicles, no less.
Why would he do that?
But the attack never happened, of course, but it didn't stop a bunch of news outlets. Like, they all showed up because they're like, "Oh, there's going to be an armored."
That's what I mean. Yeah. What are you doing? You're getting them all hyped up in the
because
house.
Because that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants. That's what this guy's about. So here is a sad piece.
Oh, fuck. It's got to do with the kids?
It does.
God damn it! Tina!
I'm sorry.
Motherfucker!
No, this is so incredibly awful. All right.
Please.
So one story that I read is about this man, Keith Tarkington. He divorced one of Gray's daughters, Lisa, and ultimately lost all contact with his children. So what happened was basically he couldn't prove that they were on the compound because they don't have any there's no addresses, there's no identifying information, and they can't serve papers unless you have that information. Like, the courts can't do it to show that he had custody. Mm. And so he told the Observer back in 2000, quote, "The last time I was with my boys was when my ex-wife brought them out to the road and let me see them for about 2 minutes," he says. "I stood in a ditch and gave them both hugs while my father-in-law leaned against the gate with a rifle slung over his shoulder." So essentially, the kids are in prison, you know? Those boys, they've never seen outside. The adults all have, right? And it's one thing, like, if you want to live off the grid, but it's another when you impose this life on kids who do not have a choice. And the thing with that story that was just crazy was he was saying, like, "We got married, and she was, like, fine." And she's like, he was always a little, talking about Gray, like, a little cuckoo. But then, like, he started, like, convincing his daughter more and more about this, like, anti-government and not paying the tax. And she would be like, "No, we can come live over there at the ranch and we won't pay taxes." And he's just like, "That doesn't make any sense. Like, you can't do that."
Wow.
And then he was like, "That's it. Like, I have to get out of this family."
Oh my God.
And then he still has never seen them, like, in 15 years.
Oh no.
Like, then they're grown up now.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine their whole lives? Terrible.
I thought you were going to say something else about the involved the children. But here's the thing that's weird too, that these kids don't leave.
Eventually one of them is going to leave.
I know, but like how? Number one. Number two, what else is going on in that house?
I don't know. It's weird.
You know what I mean? It's a little too involved.
It's weird.
I mean, I'm not against the idea of people living off the grid. I'm not against that. I mean, if there's
a community,
they're using water, like they're using the fucking grid. Is it not like normal, like what everybody else does? Yes. If they're keeping to themselves, they're not bothering anybody.
You're
fine.
Not hurting kids.
Kids aren't going to school.
Right. And I wonder too, because like that's truancy, right? Like
can't they get in trouble for
but
that?
But I think they homeschool, right. You know?
I don't know. This is a very odd thing.
Yeah.
It's very odd.
I just felt,
there is,
the idea of someone like taking your children and that this other person has them and they're your babies. I mean, it's terrible for this guy.
And believe me when I tell you, terrible, that there is no convincing when someone believes what God says and like the Bible and like that's their faith system and they're that strong about it. There's no turn. There's no changing minds there. You can't. It's a no win battle.
No.
And that's really sad. I mean, I'm all for fuck the government.
Right.
I don't want to pay fucking taxes
who
either.
Who wants to pay taxes?
Yeah.
But I also want to be able to drive on a road that doesn't have 5,000 potholes in it and trashes like, you know, my car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to be able to trust the food that I buy.
It's been a very overwhelming week to like be on Twitter and look at the stuff in Florida, which is what is in my feed on Twitter. And just, it's been a very, very overwhelming week when it comes to all of the things that are happening here. And I just don't see the point or the purpose. And I again ask, how are we getting out of this mess?
I don't know.
How are we doing it? How are we going to turn this ship around? And it's not, what we're doing isn't working. And except for the fact that we know the Democrats in the Florida House and the Senate are putting them all on the record, right?
Right.
Then they ask these questions. These things are on the record.
History will be,
you know,
there.
It goes to court after it passes. They throw most of the shit out and say it's unconstitutional. But it's the cowardice on the side of the Republican legislature that won't stand up to DeSantis. They're just doing his bidding, which I find absolutely reprehensible. And I know that. I believe our friends in the Senate and the House that say that these guys aren't bad guys and they don't really like this stuff. I believe that.
Right.
I think that any normal person with a working brain looks at this legislation and is like, this is horrible.
But the second they don't stand up for it.
Yeah. We just need a couple of you to do it. Just need a couple. And he's going to blast you like a motherfucker.
Who cares?
But once
some integrity.
But if one domino falls, can't they all fall? I mean, what are we doing?
What else
are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's exhausting. And when I tell you people are suffering, people are really fucking suffering. And we're distracting from real issues, from real things that are happening to people.
Yeah. And these Republicans that are there, it's they have an opportunity. They have an opportunity to stand up for what's right. And they don't do it because they want to keep their seat. They want to stay in this political realm, you know, and I'm going to read a quote from The Second Coming by Yeats. And it's talking about the Second Coming. It's a post-World War I poem, but it says, it talks about how things are falling apart. The center cannot hold, but it says the best lack all conviction while the worst are full of passionate intensity. And that line just reminds me of the state of politics. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That the best lack all conviction, right? Like maybe the best of those Republicans know what's right, but they lack the conviction to stand up and do what's right and say what's right and go up against this guy. And the worst are like the DeSantis's and the Trumps of the world who are full
Gates.
Of this bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like that poem says, some revelation is at hand and That's what I feel like.
I agree.
Like that things are going to fall apart, continue to fall apart. And it's scaring me, honestly.
I just don't understand the purpose and the point. What's the purpose and the point of what you're doing? And if it's not to better life for all, then, you know, if you're a person, like you're just going after groups that need to be protected and information that should be shared. I don't understand the point of what you're doing.
Because it's not anything that's actually helping anybody.
I know.
How does taking away self-affirming care, like for trans children, helping, how is taking that away helping anybody? It's preventing suicide.
But they don't care. I can't.
And it's such a small percentage of people that you're actually doing this to, but it's just damaging.
Yeah, but I don't think they really care either way, right? Like, again, for DeSantis, this is just another way for him to climb that ladder and for him to announce all of the things that he's doing, for him to announce, look, in Florida, we don't stand for that critical race theory. In Florida, we don't stand for, you know, the indoctrination of your children with you know, homosexuality. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, for him to say on the stage, and look what I did in Florida. That. I'm going to do this nationwide.
Yeah. So here's the thing about those debates is that would always be the place where it would really separate everybody. And he's really bad at debating. And he looks on the stage and he's like this. He's scared.
Because he's dumb.
Chris really fucking beat the shit out of him on that stage. Really did. But what happens now is that during that debate, at that night after and the whole day, next day, is it spun in ways that makes the
sound bites,
to where they can defend things that he said, and they can, you know what I mean? So it doesn't even matter anymore. He's really bad at it. Anybody can wipe the floor with him, but it's his, I tweeted that today. This is his election to lose. You know, I think he can beat Biden. I want Biden to win re-election if he's going to run again, because I don't want DeSantis, but I think that he can beat Biden. Because so many people love him.
And again, the Republican machine, it's such a good, well-oiled machine. They know how, because people all over the U.S. know DeSantis. I mean, we can't even in the state of Florida get people to know a candidate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they are doing the work. They are in the trenches. They are making it happen. Like, we need help.
Yeah. And we're 2 months.
I feel like that's all I say is we need help.
And the Dems are 2 months in without a leader. Excuse me. Two years. We're going on year 3 without a leader. Let's be honest.
Oh my God. I can't. Okay.
And here's the other thing is, like, I'm obsessed with, like, the Florida Dems chair and who's going to be the chair. Like, that's a story that I'm fucking obsessed with.
Oh, I can't wait to know. But I can't wait to know, but then I'm afraid to know.
But I think, and then I start to think, well, maybe it doesn't matter who the chair is. Maybe it doesn't matter who runs the party,
we haven't
had
anything.
Because, maybe it doesn't really matter, but I know it does.
It does.
I know it does, because so many people who aren't politically involved look to the party every single election of who's supposed to run. The party is essential on who the candidates are going to be on the top of the ticket down. They're essential in that. And if we had a strong party here, we could actually have an endorsement process. I would love for the Broward Dems to have an endorsement process where they can weed out the bad people. Where, I don't know, they don't endorse friends or everybody in the race. I mean, it's fucking stupid. It's stupid shit.
I was just thinking about that Elsie Hastings seat and the amazing people we have lost.
Yeah, the disaster of that. Because nobody was strong enough. Manny Diaz wasn't strong enough to say, hey, 8 of you need to sit down.
Yes.
We need you on the school board. We need you on the county board. We need you to stay in the House seat, Omari Hardy. You know? God. I mean, Bobby DeBose was termed out. We need him everywhere, but he was termed out. But still.
Bobby DeBose. Like, but if that field was a little lighter, maybe it would have been a better shot.
Yeah.
For someone like Bobby.
I mean,
the best thing
that happened is Dale Holness got kicked out. Hey, bae.
Bye.
Hey, bae. I saw a guy walking down the street today. Had a Team Holness shirt on. I was like, hey, how's that lawsuit going? Woo! How's that going for you?
All right. Oh. Okay. Time to end the podcast.
All right. Well,
bye.
Bye.
If you want to see any photos or take a deeper dive into our stories, please go to our website, www.themuckpodcast.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Muck Podcast and on our Twitter at Muck Podcast.
To support The Muck Podcast, please visit our Patreon page. We have 3 levels of support with exclusive content: Muckraker, Policy Wonk, or Bleeding Heart. We can't do this without you.